The Kilkenny Soccer Podcast with Davy Doyle and Shane O'Keefe. Brought to you by KCLR and Scoreline.ie.
Welcome along to the sixth edition of the Kilkenny Soccer Podcast. Each week, myself and Davy Doyle sit down and discuss all the happenings within the dynamic world of Kilkenny soccer. I'm joined by Davy, as always. Davy?
Morning, Shane. Nice morning out there today. Yes, thank God.
Morning to be talking about a bit of football.
Yeah, a lot of interesting topics this week.
Yeah, and it's not a lot of things that we've brought to the
table. No, no. So before anyone gets their
knickers in a twist.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that. these are all, we're always asking for feedback. So this is all feedback from outside the studio, shall we say. So we're given our version of the opinions we're given. We're given the facts that we have been given to us. This is me and Shane just regurgitating what we've been told this morning. So very interesting stuff. Yeah. Very interesting stuff.
And obviously we're always open to correction. So yeah, if you message sport at KCLR96FM.com, like I say during every podcast and on the text for every podcast that goes up, we're always open to hear your side of the story, whether you want it being anonymous or even just off the record. I'll appreciate any messages from it. Going up to other people though and saying, oh, they need to get their facts right, without actually saying it to us. Like, I've had people going, oh, it's not a sideline chat because there's, you have a forum to broadcast it. It is a sideline chat. There just happens to be...
We're not keeping anyone out. Anyone that wants to, like...
And I'll invite anybody to come on.
Yeah.
I mean, have a chat. And like, actually have a chat about it instead of... Because a lot of the time when you're working on radio, you have a chat and you're keeping... It's civil, like, and everything will be civil.
Everything
but, like,
is civil, yeah.
Not a lot of time hard questions get asked.
No, and like I was telling you off air there, I went to visit a few friends last night, met a man from Tramore, and he listens to it, and he says he wished I had something like that down there, because we're not out to harpoon anybody, but it is just a general chat. Like, starting this morning, there's a couple of shout outs to two teams going into bigger competitions. We're trying to cover every age group, we're trying to cover every avenue. We're going to get a lot of stuff wrong, and that's why we want people to come on and tell us where we went wrong and see, can we sift through it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, Shane, even though you're a superhero wrestler, we're only human. Like,
I wouldn't say that. I was broke up
after
wrestling training.
One of my brothers is your biggest fan, your podcast, Wrestling Podcast's biggest fan.
No way. Which
and
one?
Graham.
Yeah.
So I was told to tell you. I don't know if it was to tell you on air, but it's
new one released today anyway, yeah, as well.
Good, good. He listens in avidly.
Lovely, yeah. Lovely. Well, the Wrestling Fan Wrestling Show, that goes up all the time. But we're here to talk about Kilkenny soccer. As we said, a lot of people are messaging in regards to it, but you have a few shout outs there, David.
Yeah, well, on this weekend you have the Thomastown Junior Ladies. They're away in the Leinster Junior Shield quarter final. They're away to St John Bosco up in Dublin. Frank Begley is the manager there, and I know a few of the players, and it's a big you know, going away up to Dublin. Play John Bosco would be a good name up there. So best of luck to all them out there, and we'll keep an eye on the results, and we'll have a chat about it next week. Just play the game, don't play the occasion, as they say. Don't get bothered by where you are and the accents and all that. Just go out and play your game and you'll be fine. And then in Limerick County this Saturday at 11:30 in UL, great facility down there, UL, this year's Kennedy Cup under the tutelage of Neil Murta, Bobby Lawler, Michael Welch and Jenny O'Keefe, your own Jenny O'Keefe. They're in the All-Ireland Shield final against Limerick County down in UL. So we'll be hoping the boys on their way to the Kennedy Cup pick up a trophy and a lot of confidence. And I know Bobby is, a couple of players have dropped out of the squad, but I know the team are watching them, you know. So Kennedy Cup, it needs to be changed, but a great thing. So for both teams, and anybody else who wants a shout out, just get in touch. But for both teams, best of luck this weekend, and we'll keep an eye on the results.
Yeah, we got a message in regards to the Oscar Trainer, some clarification on that, that the lads, you know, Emmett and Dazzler did everything they could to try and get the game played anyway. Didn't ask me really to go into it too much in detail, but we appreciate reaching out to us here. Another one that came out, and this is a big topic of conversation, especially last year and coming to the end of every year, and I know you have a lot of things to discuss, and so do I. So I'm going to start off with a message that I received going, great stuff with the new podcast, lads. Thanks very much. I'm gutted each week when it's finished. So we'll get the niceties out of the way.
Good.
Davy Dyle's not bollocks. No, I'm only joking.
How did that not sound like it was true?
One thing you haven't touched upon yet that really needs to change is the Player of the Year selections.
Okay.
Players win because teams won't vote for opposition players that they don't like. For me, the ref should pick it from each game on Sunday and then submit it. Then that gets tallied at the end of the season. You can see, for example, how, say, goalkeepers got Player of the Years in certain divisions after conceding a significant amount of goals, and that's because for some people it's the lesser of two evils. Booters aren't going to vote for an Evergreen player, and vice versa.
That's true though.
And also, to attach upon that, why don't they do a top scorer in the league like the Carlow leagues do?
I don't know.
Like that, because I see Lee Walker say for Carlow, you go on the Carlow website, they have the top goal scorers, and that'll go back into what we were saying last weekend, where just give the accurate score.
Yeah.
If it's an 8-0, it's an 8-0, it's not 5-0.
Yeah, well, as regards the Player of the Year, that does happen. An awful lot of players did not get Player of the Years because certain teams.
There was a big thing about it there. I remember Eddie Clifford from St. Canice's, maybe I'm wrong, and I can be wrong.
Yeah.
He had something up about it saying it was a bit silly that this person got it when, you know, this happened or, you know what I mean?
Like, no disrespect to anyone who did get it. Well done. But, when I was at Freebooters players will not vote for an Evergreen player. Evergreen players will not vote for a Freebooters player. And something has to be done about it because Evergreen players have not got Player of the Year. Freebooters players have not got Player of the Year. And that's no disrespect to people who did get Player of the Years, because if you're in that conversation, you probably deserve it. So, that has to change.
So the way it works now is that all teams nominate someone from their team to go in for Player of the Year selection within the divisions, and then the clubs vote on which player.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And the one with the most votes gets the win.
Yeah.
But, like, this is unfair, I think, on the KDL, because they got some flack about it last year that, this is ridiculous. This is
But they can't force people to.
They can't force people to vote. Now, maybe the mechanism that was set up traditionally for Player of the Year selection can be amended.
Yeah, of course it could. But, I mean, again, they're a new committee in they're doing a lot of good stuff, which we've said every week. I think we've given a big shout out. But, yeah, something has to be changed there. Referees.
Say for Division 3 last year, I think a River Rangers B team player got it. They lost 11 to 12 games, I think. They drew one, I think that game wasn't even played.
But did that stop him being the best player, was he?
Well, yeah, maybe, like, as I said, but would that, if he haven't had a game, won a game and got 3 points?
Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, he could have been given his all every week and fair play to him.
Yeah.
But, it is strange. But, I mean, the referee's picking every week on the card. Best player on the day was Shane O'Keefe, which I'd say was a normal occurrence.
No, I think red card or substitute was
Something like that wouldn't be bad. And then maybe each club then have one vote, you know, just put in theirs and tally it up that way, you know. I mean, something has to be done because an awful lot of people have lost out on things that they deserve.
Well, say if they did have the ref kind of picking the Player of the Year, the ref picking the man of the match each match, you're going to get a diverse range of people, game by game, and then at the end it's all tallied up. So it's genuinely kind of like a fair way to do it.
I would agree.
I think that's a good...
I think it needs to change because, going over it again, if you deserve it, you should get it, and it shouldn't be...
a rivalry thing.
Yeah, and I was guilty of it, like.
Yeah,
you know, I put my hand up. Whatever years ago I was guilty of it, and I'm sure there's plenty of lads who aren't out in Evergreen anymore were guilty of it as well. And other clubs, I mean, I didn't realise how big the rivalry between Greg the Man and Thomastown was till I went out to Thomastown. So I'm sure there's a bit of that there as well.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't believe how big that rivalry was.
Highview, isn't it?
Yeah, Highview. Yeah, massive rivalry, massive. Yeah. So, you know, that if to stop an individual getting something over that, you know, it's probably wrong, but I'm guilty of it. So, yeah, the referees and maybe...
just take out the voting element of it.
Yeah, and listen, this is the best player this year, and let's get on with it.
I like the idea of the top goal scorer as well.
Yeah, good idea. Look at, and the thing about that is, I know players, you know players that counter goals, and they know who's top goal scorer. And I was even watching another podcast yesterday, and Ollie Gollan Solskjaer saying Ian Wright and Alan Shearer stopped him being top goal scorer. So even at the top, they want these little accolades. So what's wrong with
doing it out
a
there.
Lad in Division 3 getting whatever goals he says and getting a little award saying top goal scorer in your division.
Clean sheets.
Yeah, clean sheets. Well, yeah, what did they call it? Top...
Golden Glove.
Golden Glove, yeah, you know. I mean, all these little incentives is good for the game, you know.
Yeah. And I
don't think anyone ever refused an award.
Yeah,
you know, so
it's a nice, it's a chance to put on a suit and tie.
Well, it also
because wasn't there a complaint that not a lot of people showed up for awards nights before?
Yeah, there was times a club didn't show up to pick up the Premier League trophy at an award show. You know, I mean, but then we're going back to the Oscar Traynor. Do you respect the KDL? And I do. You know, so if you're going to get an individual award and your teammates go with you, the KDL dinner dance used to be a massive thing.
Yeah, it used to be
great. Like, I remember we went to it one night.
No, it's a new committee, so they're still finding their ground. This is their first full season, like, asked me.
Yeah, so, I mean, we have to give them a chance to get things. And they will get things wrong as well. You know, but I mean, little incentive for each individual. So every goalkeeper in every division is going, God, if I...
But the thing is, like, they're finding out as things are happening. Yeah. So, like, people going, oh, the player of the year selection is a load of nonsense.
Yeah.
All right, then. Maybe there is room to
improve it, change
that.
But again, they're not going to change everything in one go. They're not going to change it all in one go. So they have to incrementally get better. You know, we'll give them the license to do that as well.
Yeah, and I think if the ref does pick it, the ref is supposed to be non-biased.
Well, do you know what we'll do as well? If a guy wants to win player of the year, he might shut his mouth.
Yeah. I would have never
got manager of the year because I couldn't shut my mouth.
Yeah.
and it's the truth. Like, till now I'm a different, you know, older and life.
Maybe an award for, like, clubs.
Well, there is a, in fairness to the KDL, there is a, is it called, I don't know if it's a best club or fairest club or
right lack of cards and stuff.
Yeah, for the way you present yourself, you know, your conduct, you know, everything like that. They have an award for that.
What about a social media award, like for promoting your
best podcast would be wonderful. know?
Best Kilkenny related podcast. No, but what I'm saying is, like, for a club, so we start getting then the photos from matches and we start getting up-to-date reports and we start getting little videos and different things from different clubs.
So each club, and you
have
know,
a social media presence.
At a time, I would have said that would have been hard, but I'm no good at it. But there's so many people on the sideline that are so quick at social media. You just get one or two guys to do it. That wouldn't be, I don't think that would be a massive ask. And that would be good as well, you know. So any little thing to improve it, I think, yeah. And individual little awards and little incentives, yeah, be very, very good.
Yeah.
You know.
You mentioned that, like, the KDL might get things wrong. Well, apparently we were told we got things wrong from last week. I had a member of Castlewarren, and I need to say that this, because even though I am a Castlewarren member, this is in no way affiliated to Castlewarren. This isn't
People seem to find a problem getting over that, don't they?
Yeah, this is not to do, although my experiences do stem from being in the league with Castlewarren. I've been in the league in various forms with Booters, Evergreen, Fort Rangers and Castlewarren over the last 20 years. Castlewarren has taken up a predominant, I started off with City Boys actually.
Yeah.
Castlewarren has taken up the last decade or so, but this is in no way affiliated to Castlewarren.
No.
So like, go up and have a chat about the podcast, but don't say because this guy is from Castlewarren, this is his opinion.
Yeah, and it's the same.
I'm not saying that happened either.
No,
I'm just saying that
I get it. I'm a Freebooters man, and like I managed Thomastown, Waterford FC, played for Green Celtic, played for Armour Villa, you know, and
But this is just Davy Doyle. This isn't Davy Doyle, for Freebooters.
Like, I mean, a couple of Freebooters lads aren't happy with me over a couple of comments in one or first two shows. But they're just my thoughts, like, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, I mean, you're in a select group. If everyone hates you, we can't be doing...
Yeah, well, like, as I said...
I don't mean that.
People are talking, and so...
That's good, yeah.
People have reached out to you anyway.
Yeah, a lot of people reach out. Well, first of all, seeing as we just touched on the Oscar Traynor and all, two things... We had one person rang me and he told me that he played Oscar Traynor from when he was 18 till he was 34.
Yeah.
He said if Dazza had rang him last week, even though he's old and he's fat, now he's a very self-deprecating man, he's old and he's fat and his knees hurt and all, he would have went.
Yeah.
And so in his words I could say it, he said absolute bullshit if you don't turn up.
Yeah.
So now we're going back over that. Now, and then the same player told me, do you know, he said, that Jim Nugent, he said on his child's, I'm going to write it down here, on his kids' communion, the goalkeepers got injured in the Oscar Traynor. Jim went to the Mass, drove to Limerick, played in goal for the Kilkenny Oscar Traynor in his 40s and drove back home for the party.
Class.
Now, if he can do that, lads, And I don't think anyone would fault his enthusiasm for the game.
Yeah.
And other players would go back now to play. I said, but we're not going to go over the game. But just telling you how important it was to some people.
Yeah.
You know, and then, I got a call from Leeds in nicely from Jim into Fort Rangers.
Yeah.
So they just wanted to get their side of the...
Which is great that they've reached out. Because, yeah. like, everything that we discussed was stuff that was in the public domain. So they had previous yeah. chats with the offside guys yeah. over on community radio. If you look back in the message history, I think it was to the Fort Rangers account, the official, or maybe it was yeah. to Jim, I don't know. But there was a message from me asking, can we have a chat about this?
Yeah.
So I think the Kilkenny People had up an article about
yeah.
it. But that was everything that was in the public domain.
But I think, and no disrespect, I think because we're doing a little bit more in-depth, you know, and people are listening and they're getting both sides of it, I think this is why they come on. So they're 50 years in existence this year and they haven't got a junior team,
yeah.
which I think is a little bit of a kick in the private, shall we say. They felt it was impossible to field a competitive team at the time.
Yeah.
Okay? So in the previous couple of years, they saw a couple of other teams were accommodated for what they wanted to do.
This is an important part, though, because it's a new committee
yeah.
that need to set precedents.
Yeah. So, but then you're looking at both sides. They're setting a new precedent, but there's a precedent set that
already,
wasn't,
yeah,
that wasn't
fair,
afforded
yeah.
to Fort Rangers. Do you know what I mean? So, as all of us in charge of soccer teams, you have to look after the players, whether they're grown men or kids. So they felt the players needed to be looked after, and they knew that they weren't going to be competitive. So they let players go. Now, I know Freebooters benefited, Castle Warren benefited, Evergreen benefited, probably a few other teams benefited from.
Yeah, we have Stephen McKenna with us.
Yeah.
Ye took a Nugent.
Yeah. He was a lad I was after years ago. Jim wouldn't give him to me. He said we had enough with Emmett. So they felt the players had to go and be able to play. Okay. So Canis has then got promoted and didn't go up. You know, they would have been happy to drop it to Division 3 and rebuild again just to keep the thing going. In all the years, they've never given a walkover.
Yeah.
They were 10 years in the Premier and competed in total 10 years in the Premier. And now I remember them turning out some days and they moved to Buckley, and Buckley was beautiful.
Yeah.
And again, Freebooters went out and gave them one or two beatings.
Yeah.
But they still... You know, you have to give them the credit. They never fall camping.
Well, like that's what we said last week. Like, because I've had people suggest that we were wrong in what we said. I said Fort Rangers is a good club.
Yeah.
I said it was disappointing that they're gone, and I said it was disappointing that they didn't just stay par for course on what they were doing. And if they were going to get relegated, then they were going to get relegated. I can appreciate that.
I think the feeling I got from the conversation was, it's not that they were afraid of relegation. They felt that that team would have been uncompetitive very quickly and wouldn't have turned up.
Would have lost interest.
You know, so they didn't want to go down that road. And as your man said, we didn't want to leave the league in a position where every Fort Rangers game is null and void. So they said, we thought the best thing to do was try and get dropped down to divisions, regroup and come again.
I can understand that. But
yeah,
coming from another club's perspective that mm-hmm. we're already in that division, this is the way it looks. A Premier Division side has been automatically relegated, and now they're coming into your division. Regardless of what players they have, the thought of other clubs is, like Castle Warren, like Johns, and going, this is it. Here we go again.
Yeah, I understand it from that side, but then you're looking at the Fort Rangers side and it's been done for other teams. Why can't it be done for them?
Yeah, but did that work? So it worked for Dean Celtic the year before yeah. because they were pretty much the top of the pile within Division yeah. 1, bar Canises.
Yeah.
And both those sides were in those divisions based off decisions made to either promote or relegate automatically.
Well, I've heard
so
of this.
So what... In Division 1 there last year, you had two clubs that were at the top of the pile. They both competed in the Divisional Cup final mm-hmm. and they both came first and second and got promoted. But two of the clubs, Canises, after getting automatic promotion from Division 3 into Division 2, won everything there, automatic, and then earned promotion into Division 1, while Dean Celtic were automatically relegated. So two teams that were automatically put into these divisions or got there to these divisions,
yeah.
competed at the top level for everything to the detriment of the other clubs that have been striving for years to get to that position.
Yeah, well, look, it's not fair on both sides then, really, isn't it? You know, I mean...
I can understand why Fort Rangers wanted to do it and seemed possible.
Yeah.
But I can understand why the KDL are going, no, look, I know it's happened before, but we can't let that happen because this, and this happened.
I understand that.
But I also suggest why didn't... Fort Rangers went, let's have a B team... and then went actually number four in our A team, and then started with our B team.
I think
the B moniker off.
I think a big problem for Forth Rangers was they asked for a meeting in August and they didn't get it till the end of September.
Okay.
So then, like,
they didn't know what was happening.
They didn't know what was happening and what to do. So they probably did what was best for their players. Probably not what was best for the club at the time.
What, just let them go?
Let them go to other clubs so that they're playing, and then in the hope that they will get them back further down the line. Now, I did hear a whisper that no matter what happens this year, if you get promoted, you're up. If you get relegated, you're down. There's no messing around now. So if that's true, fantastic. You know, and I would imagine that any teams coming back, like your Canises or your Forth Rangers, now we'll go to the bottom of Division 3 and work your way up. So then they're setting a new precedent that you're a new club, you're starting fresh again. Now, the good thing I would say for Forth Rangers that the club in some form, with all the schoolboys and all, is still going in its 50th year. And 50 years, that has to be applauded. Mm. But they have a grievance on previous actions.
Exactly.
And then, you know, so are we saying they got caught in the crossfire because they were changing it this year? Probably. But the fact that the meeting took so long, I think, is a big bone of contention with them. Is it that hard to make a meeting with a club? Is it? On a special, you know, on something as
I wouldn't assume so.
No, on something as crucial as this to the club going forward.
To the existence of a club.
Yeah, I think maybe they could have been accommodated, have that meeting very early in August, sit down and said, lads, this
but
is...
But what if they didn't get that result that they wanted, where they were going to drop down?
Well, then it would be the same as it is now, but at least they could say they had a face-to-face in time to do it. That's the only thing. But, I mean, they were felt strongly enough about it to ring and say, look, we just want you to get our points across. And the KDL can come and sit here with us and tell us their points. We'd absolutely actively encourage it. But from Forth Rangers' point of view...
You're always going to have three sides to every story.
Yeah, you know, so, I mean, it's a tough one. I'm sure they're going to have some sort of celebrations this year. It would have been nice to have their senior team there, and it hasn't happened. And maybe it mightn't have happened, but it could have been handled better, I would imagine, is the way people feel. Would you agree? Do you think it could have been handled better?
Well, like, if that meeting took a long time to come about and players were left in limbo, certainly it could have been handled better.
Yeah,
and
so
this is where I think the pre-season tournament would work really well, so you don't start the league till October. But I still firmly believe in the competitive nature of promotion and relegation.
Yeah, so do I, yeah.
And not the concept of, oh, we don't have a strong team this year, so we're going to drop back down.
Well, I think the two...
Like, you don't see that, say, in other sports. And I hate always bringing up hurling on a soccer podcast, but you don't see, like, Greg Ballycullen going, oh, we're not going to compete at senior this year. We might be end up in a relegation battle. We don't have the players. Our players are after going to Australia, or our players are working up in Dublin. You know what? Let's ask, can we go to intermediate?
Well, I mean, on the Forth Rangers side of it, I mean, I know we're talking about the transition from one.
And this isn't a knock. Like, I need to say, this isn't a knock on the people that are putting the effort in, like the Nugents and the Cashins, and this isn't a knock on them. And I know that you did what you thought was best for the club.
To be on the other side of it, if you're looking at a couple of teams that were accommodated and they have people on the KDL board, the feeling, whether it's true or not, was that they got special treatment and you're not getting it.
Yeah.
That's the way it feels. And no matter what you say...
Oh, and like, there's bones of contention with Castle Warren about certain things going, well, why are these clubs seem to be getting that preferential? But it's always going to be an us versus them mentality, no matter what.
Yeah, I would have liked to see that meeting get done pretty much.
Where do you stand on it, David? Do you think that they should have stayed playing if they had the players?
I would, after 50 years and the service,
should they have been accommodated and allowed to go down to Division 1?
I think, would it have been hard to say, listen, you're 50 years in existence, you and your brother and a lot of players out of your club give massive service to Kilkenny County with playing and coaching county teams and all that. Can we sit down early, have a chat and go, right, look, you've given years and years of service. This is a one-off. We're going to accommodate you back to Division 3 and start again. And then from this year on.
Okay, but so you're Johns and you're going, here we go again. Here's a team that...
But it's going to happen this year anyway now, isn't it?
I don't know. Like,
well, Forth Rangers are, I would imagine, going to come back as a junior.
Yeah, so do they go back into the Premier Division?
No, they go back to Division 3, I would say.
So Johns are sitting there and I only say Johns quite a bit because I know that the reality of what John Conroy is facing with Johns. But, like, you're looking at teams that are going, come on, here we go again.
But, I mean, you're going to have...
How are we going to get out of this?
But where do you put them back in the Premier? I think...
There's no easy solution.
Back to Division 3 for them and Canises and work your way back up. And that's just the way it is. And the Johns and the Castle Warrens, train harder, work harder.
Do you really think that's the way to go?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I do. I mean, if you're going to, if these clubs are coming back into existence, yeah, down to the bottom and 3 years building your way up. I mean, instant gratification.
And then
back
what? It happens again. And then you get, and then you reset
again. Oh, this
again.
Is the thing now. If it happens again, there has to be a caveat that, listen, as you do this again, you're gone forever.
Like, there's no easy, like, there's no, like, have New Park have done this in some form, yeah. Like, at least twice from my from my knowledge and stuff. Mm-hmm. So you're just like, well, why are we at here? Like, why are we, we're striving so much and then things get hard and you're not winning. And I'm not suggesting this is what New Park doing, yeah, but you're like, obviously there's infighting or there's different things going on in the background that I don't know about, but just from the outside perspective, you know, you get to the Premier Division, you do everything that you can to get there. You're not going to be competing to the level that you were winning everything because Evergreen and Booters and Thomastown and Dean Celtic and all are there. You know what? Okay, I'm gone. And then you go back down then. You take a year off and then you start again. Then you do it and the cycle just
continues. Obviously this goes back to the first time a team was accommodated. Once that was done, it opened this can of worms.
Yeah, okay. So now does the new committee just be like...
But they seem to be like that.
This ain't happening now under our watch. Just so you know.
They're entitled to say that. You know, they are entitled to say that. But, I mean, from the new committee's point of view, if they're going to go promotion and relegation, then when these teams come back in whatever entity, they have to go to the bottom then.
Yeah.
You know, they have to.
I probably disagree about that. I can't think of another workaround. Just putting them back into the division. And if they don't have the players to do it, like, so, what happens then if you promote? I don't know.
I spent a few minutes over Armand Villa and Freebooters quietly and at the back, left very early. Freebooters scored.
Were you getting stick that you weren't going to enough games or something?
Yeah, somebody said, if I get this right, sure, he hasn't been at a game in years. Well, I actually have been at a good few games lately. And another young coach who didn't know me, what would he know about junior football? And I said, not a lot. but I have been around. But look, that's good.
Yeah.
But I think I've been at in the last month, a dozen games of different guys in Kilkenny, and then I go to school games during the week.
And I've openly said that Castle Warren games, they're my thing.
They're your thing,
that's what I go to, because I'm working on sports on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, but that's fine.
But also, I love somewhat the kind of administrative side of what's happening within the league. I love, not the controversy, but...
Yeah, that wouldn't be my thing at all.
I enjoy building things and starting things and creating things and looking out to make things better. And
good.
You know what I mean?
And would you ever consider going on to KDL?
I was considering it last year, but knowing that the flack that the lads get.
Yeah. Well, they do, but
so
I mean...
This is my way of like using my skills to be able to
I'm just here as a lot of time as devil's advocate. I just... Like, I'm not afraid to say what I think and I get nothing wrong. I'm right every time. So, I mean, I went to the game... Freebooters scored after a minute, I think it was
a 4-0 Pat Marshall semi-final.
Yeah, scored after a minute, and Jim Ryan scored, and then
in the McCalmont next.
Jerry Hayes scored shortly after Jim Ryan got. I left early. The pitch was very narrow, which
Garen Green was it?
Yeah, which I think it was narrowed in a bit more than normal, which didn't suit Armagh Villa, would you believe?
Yeah,
made a very compact Freebooters strong defence. It was a nothing game really. So I went off. No disrespect to either team. Peter had the boys set up well and they played well and you know they got some good goals.
Armand Villa are big physical team.
So the thing I got on this was do we think the Pat Marshall has it dropped that far?
Well, this is where I'm talking about what I said last week, the pre-season competition, make that the Pat Marshall.
Like no
Champions League style format and then go into a knockout stage. Pat Marshall, that's your opening of the season, then bang straight into the
league. We said the last couple of weeks, wouldn't it have been great if Armand Villa and Freebooters were going to the Kells Road?
Well, no, in fairness, the final is going out to Thomastown.
Yeah, but I'm on about the semis. Like, there was a semi-final with no linesmen.
Yeah.
You know, I remember...
Well, like, make a big deal.
But it used to be a big deal. Why has it dropped so much?
There's probably too many domestic competitions. Yeah, like, think about it. You have Pat Marshall, you have McCalmont Cup, you have Division 1, Division 2, and Premier Division Cups. Then you have the Sean O'Connor Memorial Cup. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 domestic cup competitions.
Pat Marshall was always a great deal. Great thing to win.
But
Jesus.
Play it at the start of the season.
But I mean, why...
And then that way then, you'll be able to get a full run of league fixtures going.
Yeah, well this...
Because this is a problem with clubs saying, oh, I haven't played a game since this date, or I play one game and then next month I'm playing another game because there's cup competitions going on and, you know, we're knocked out of the cup.
Well, that leads into another caller, but we'll just finish with this one. Why weren't the two games on at the same time? Evergreen, and this is not me giving out about Evergreen. Evergreen got their game changed in 2 to 3 days.
It's generally meant to be from the Monday.
It was changed from Saturday night to not being on at all to...
Evergreen B played their game against Freshford.
But
so
is the Pat Maher Shield not a club competition?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
So they said... Now, I'm...
And that's why Evergreen B and C... Evergreen 46 now are playing at the weekend, but Evergreen B and C aren't playing because of the Pat Maher Shield semi-final.
But, I mean, why in 3 or 4 days?
It could be, like...
But why was it cancelled? Any idea why it was called off?
I have no idea.
I know Comer were fuming over it.
Well, we'll talk about the Comer thing. I know that Freshford were looking to get their fixture played with Evergreen B soon. So,
but that's a league fixture, is it?
That's a league fixture. Yeah, but if it's a club competition.
But this is the Pat Maher Shield.
If Evergreen went, you know what, we'd like to accommodate Freshford because of whatever reason Freshford might have.
But yet,
that they're within their right to say it's a club competition. If you want that game on with...
But if we're going back to the players being put in, or the clubs being put in different leagues and a club not being accommodated, if a fixture goes up, the Pat Maher Shield semi-final is on.
What was Dean Celtic's issue?
That was called off within 2 or 3 days.
Okay. Yeah. Was it definitely 2 or 3 days?
Well, this is the information I was given.
Yeah.
It was two or three. It was on, called off. But isn't it not a 2-week run-in? You have to have a 2-week run-in?
No, I think you have to notify him that you're looking for the fixture off on the Sunday.
If you're Evergreen and you're in a Pat Maher Shield club competition.
Yeah.
Why are Evergreen calling it off?
No, but who said Evergreen called it off?
The caller that rang me.
No, but what I'm saying is, right, Freshford... Freshford may have asked the KDL, say, for example, can we have our fixture with Evergreen B played this weekend?
Yeah.
So, to accommodate Freshford, they said, yes, that game would go ahead. Now, Evergreen would have to accommodate that as well. However, they go, well, some of our B players are now playing on Saturday night, which means that our club competition can't go ahead because some players are playing on Saturday.
I wouldn't think that happened.
But I'm being devil's advocate here.
I'd imagine it could have happened.
I know Freshford were mad to get the fixtures played.
I'm brilliant, but I mean, because it's the Pat Maher Shield semi-final.
Yeah.
That would take precedent for me.
It could, yeah.
It's on a Saturday night free. Why aren't the two of them on at the same time? One was on Saturday night, one was on Sunday. Why the fuck aren't the two of them on at the same time?
What, the Pat Maher Shield semi-finals?
Yeah, two semi-finals. Linesmen, get your crowds out, go to separate grounds,
go to the same ground, playing back-to-back.
Back-to-back, something like that. But I mean,
I'm just saying that there could be other things that needed to be accommodated for,
like
Freshford.
Yeah, but I wouldn't imagine Evergreen give a shite about Freshford.
You never know; they might do.
I don't think so. I think it.
But the KDL might have been. And I think Freshford are losing players, basically.
The feeling I got was that,
and they drew 2-2.
The feeling that was said to me was they get away with whatever they want.
That's what Dean Celtic said.
Yeah. Well, not Dean Celtic, an individual. Not Dean Celtic, anyone says. But an individual, and not the first individual, to say it's like the tail wagging the dog at this stage. Now, I mean, if I could get away with it and run the league, I would have. You know what I mean? But, I mean, the Pat Maher Shield's called off. Comer.
Dean Celtic aggrieved.
Dean Celtic aggrieved because they looked... Hang on now, I had to write this down so if anyone thinks I'm making it up. They looked to have a game... They looked to have a game called off a couple of months ago, gave 2 weeks' notice, weren't accommodated, turned up to play the game and were soundly beaten, but they turned up to play it. Then they're all geared to go to a Pat Maher Shield semi-final. A couple of days before, they're told it's not on, not given an adequate reason as to why it's not on, players away or whatever, and it's a club competition. Why can you not fill in the spots? So that's the complaint, I suppose we want to call it.
Has a complaint gone into the KDL about it? Or?
Oh, I would imagine so, yeah. I would like to hear the KDL side on it, or Evergreen side on it. You know, give us a shout. This is not Shane complaining or David complaining. We're just asking for feedback, and this is the feedback we're getting.
I'm just saying I know the Freshford...
So that game is going... Is that game going ahead this weekend? I think it's going ahead. Sunday or Saturday night, is it?
It's the B team aren't out, or the C team.
So they're out Saturday night. Yeah. Is it Saturday night? The original fixture was Saturday night.
I'll have a look there now. Pat Maher Shield. There's a lot of fixtures going on in Kilkenny.
Is it?
Pat Maher Shield, no, it's on Sunday.
It's on Sunday, is it?
Sunday at 11 o'clock out on the Kells Road Astro, Dean Celtic.
That's on the website.
Yeah.
Right, so, I mean, what's your prediction for that? Obviously, it would
With how Dean Celtic were going in the league, you were kind of like they're still top of the league, whatever way you look at it. Six games, one draw, four losses, which is going to be disappointing. But it's hard to look past Evergreen for any fixture.
Yeah, if Evergreen,
and I include Booters in that sometimes.
Like we spoke last week, and I was surprised the game was off because we spoke Evergreen and Tullerone. And I'm sure Gary would have liked another game immediately to keep going. So I was surprised it was off.
And we were surprised, and I was surprised as well because Evergreen A have 5 games played in the Premier Division, while say Dean Celtic have 11 games played.
Yeah,
now,
so I mean
that's outside interest and outside competitions.
In fairness, you can't fault them on that. That happens. But I would have said that he would have liked to keep the ball rolling. You know,
but would that happen if you had people are going to be laughing? Going, will you shut up about these pre-season tournaments? Have your pre-season tournament. Pat Maher Shield gets played off between August and September. League starts in October. Play a run of 9 games, depending on how many is in your division. Make room for some of the Leinster games. Up till Christmas then, you have your Christmas break, and then you're coming into the back end with 9 more games played.
Yeah. I think it's a good idea. I've thought about it during the week. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, sure.
That's why you should be on the KDL.
Castle Warren getting all matches called off. Sorry, all the boys are on the stag.
Yeah. So then that led into the next call, which was
Connor, you're on the air.
More of a just to see what clubs are trying to do. So in Division 2, Stonyford, between December and the end of February, had only 2 games played. And they tried to find out why only certain teams were playing odd weekends.
Yeah.
Why weren't they playing? Again, got no answers from the league. Got no replies.
Like it must be incredibly hard, though, to keep everyone happy.
You're never going to keep everyone happy. Again, we've covered this enough. The 6-team split to a 4-team split. The no points, to keeping points. They were as muddled as everybody. Now, on the positives of it, Stonyford have applied for a new Astro.
Nice.
Down in the community centre down there, which they're at the application stage, which is fantastic. You know, that would be massive for the community, you know, and it's getting to the stage where facilities now in places are getting as good as anywhere else. So I really hope that goes ahead. And their junior team now, they have, because again, why? Because they're spending so much money on training facilities elsewhere, they've also reappropriated the Knocktofer pitch out there. You know the pitch out in the school grounds. Many a game I had out there, and that
we used to play the Normans, the rugby club that I used to play with and start up with. We started off in Dysart and Thomastown, and then played our games in that pitch.
Brilliant
rugby matches.
They too many teams because grass pitch in Stonyford couldn't accommodate it with the weather. They have teams from under 6 to juniors.
Class.
Brilliant. 26 youth players. But this is the thing again now to anybody in Stonyford out there, or anybody in the surrounding area that have kids in Stonyford, the youth A and B team squads are being managed by the same 2 people. So they're managing the A team and the B team. So they might have an A team game in the morning and a B team game later on. So they're running from one to the other. Fantastic. Well done, lads. Somebody give them a dig out.
Yeah.
You know, please. Somebody give them a dig out. And they won't refuse it. And if it's just maybe being ahead of time at a game, getting the kit sorted out from, you know, maybe they'll tell you the team and you have the card marked from when they get there so they can just, you know, give them a dig out. Because again, Stonyford bringing through lots of young players, lots of young, really, really good female players coming out of Stonyford. You see them in later through the county squads. So another club, was it 14 kilometres outside town? Is it about that? Really trying to do their bit for the community, and if any other clubs in the periphery of the town want to let us know what they're doing, we'll give them a big up because it's great to see.
The community announcements.
Yeah, so there you go. So I think that's all the bits we got from outside.
Right, caught up on stuff. I there's another bit actually. Remember we were talking about amalgamation.
Yeah.
Of clubs amalgamating. Clubs possibly amalgamating and still keeping their own identity and sharing amenities. So getting onto the council, say four teams got onto the council, and say, look, we need somewhere. We need somewhere. Look at all these people that we have we have associated with the club. So say Canises, when they come back, Castle Warren, whatever.
Yeah.
They go there and go, we need amenities, we need a place to train and play. And you need somewhere. Yeah, imagine it was like, oh, you could play games on a Friday, on a Saturday, on a Sunday, you know, as much as you want. It'll pay for itself because you're paying for the training facilities, like all clubs are doing, just the Kilkenny County Council setting up.
Was that, now maybe I'm wrong, was that not the initial thought of the watershed, no?
I don't know. I know it's a, I remember getting onto a TD about the price increase, and the TD said, well, because they're a public, I'll get the message up here now, they shouldn't be really doing that. Now, this isn't putting words in the mouth. I'll try and find exactly what they said, but there is public funds being used for that.
Right, okay.
So it was an annoyance that the public were being almost priced out of using the facilities for it. So how much of an increase was the watershed putting on you? That's frustrating because the council massively subsidises the watershed because of the community element.
Oh, wow, OK.
So that could have been an issue or that.
Well, as regards the amalgamation, I don't think that's going to happen until the county council or the powers that be see an intrinsic value to it. So what is that? So for me, it's mental health.
Mental health.
Physical well-being. Yeah. Kids not at the doctors because they're up playing Call of Duty till fucking 5 a.m. and not seeing any fresh air. You know, people staying away from doctors because they're out playing games from a young age. So if they can put a value on that, saying, right, we're take four teams, take Castle Warren, take St. John's, take Armagh Villa and take
Canises.
Right, there are four teams. So you put them four teams into an area. You're how many thousands of people as a pool now, supporters and everything involved coming into that area.
And you could, and how many more could you attract?
And the massive health benefits, social media, positive reinforcement, great for the area, public well-being, personal well-being, physical well-being, all that has, that's the way that it becomes something where a councillor is going, well, okay, this is something that we can use for them to get votes, let's be honest, and yet we'll go with that. Whereas just seen as, soccer club wants a ground. They all want a ground.
Oh, they're all looking for a hand.
Yeah, once it looks at that, but when you put a value on it, and you cannot put the value on it enough. I told you the story about what Damien Raggett told me earlier about the partially sighted guy and the other guy narrating the match for him. Yeah. You know, things like that, you can't put a value on them kind of things.
We get that... sorry to go against it, we have a gentleman calling, he's a Palatine Gaelic football supporter.
Right, okay.
And he calls quite regularly because he's visually impaired, saying, I love listening to the commentary on the radio.
Brilliant.
Because,
you know,
like, you know, I don't get to see the game.
Get to see it, yeah.
And then he'd be chatting, going, how do you think they're going to do this week, Shane? And, oh, you know, they might get one over Rathvilly. And, the, you know, it's
so, I mean,
that really, really, like, just makes it seem worthwhile.
And that's the thing, you see. So for these grounds, and I mean, where would you put them? Where?
Well, this is another thing, right? So obviously we're in discussion, or not even in discussion. So a lot of talk came out about Buckley there recently with the interview with the Kilkenny people done by Shane Dunphy and CK United, talking about, you know, wanting to get Buckley Park up to it. I don't think there's anybody in Kilkenny that doesn't want Buckley Park back up and running. Castle Warren have tried to use it as a venue this year, been quite hard. The pitch, very soft. Maybe sand will sort that out. I know there might be a possibility of us using that again next year, much to the annoyance, I'd imagine, of CK United, who are using the watershed now. And, you know, Shane Dunphy has been, you know, obviously League of Ireland experience, been mad to get it going. And everyone wants to get it going. But there's a possibility that we could use that again. I've also been thinking about other avenues. I've looked at maybe using, or getting onto a school about using their grounds. St. Kieran's College have a soccer pitch.
Yeah.
I know the presentation are redoing their pitch. But, you know, using those facilities because it's getting quite crowded. We had lines coming into the watershed when they were doing
what about County Council buying Buckley, turn it into an Astro?
I don't think that'll happen. No. KDL are looking to buy Buckley as
are
well. I would assume so. I think it was... There's historic precedent set that they were looking for.
Okay.
But I can't speak for them. I know they're doing great work out in Derdimus. Yeah. Derdimus could be... I think Johns were using Derdimus for a while, maybe. I think so. Yeah. But when I was thinking about this stuff, and it was also said to me, with all these new housing estates being built... is there still like a mandate that there needs to be a grass area?
Oh, I would imagine so.
For that. Because when you go to Garran Green, it's in a housing estate. Yeah. When you go to Freshford, it's pretty much
in a housing estate.
It's in a housing estate. Yeah. But you don't see that much around Kilkenny, I would imagine. No, obviously you have a Millennium Court that's over in Hebron. There's one
that
there.
That doesn't be used though, does it?
It's not a full size pitch, I think, and there's a bit
Could it be used for mini games though, couldn't it?
I'd imagine so. And it's an open public space, like sometimes we'll go over and train over there in the summer.
All right, very good.
Which is it's a nice kick around, it's nice
good surface.
Good. Sorry. It's grand to get lads running. Because if you tell them, let's go to the park, which I have done it numerous times, they know that they're running hills.
Yeah.
You know, so, let's go. And there's that enticement of a bit of football.
Ah, well, listen.
That's what lads want.
Yeah, well, when I started off coaching teams, I was big into running because I ran a lot. So all I knew was running. So I got the team fit. But now, say the opposite end in pre-season and all, you do run it, but very little of the type I used to do when I started out. Everything has changed.
I love doing drills that the lads don't actually know how much they're running
because they have a ball. That's the way to do it
now. Obviously there is still a need to try out different things, and in my opinion get lads busting their gut occasionally, but not all the time. But just doing drills that they don't know they're running, whether it's running up to a part and tapping the ball back, running back, taking it around the corner.
Yeah, because they're fixating on the ball.
Yeah, lads, and I'd be doing drills, there's a 10-minute training.
I meant to ask you a question. Well, go on, carry on.
Lads, and they're constantly moving, bang, 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 and they don't realise it. And then after the end, they're like, jeez, I love that stuff. Yeah.
Now, when you're Division 2?
Division 1. Put some respect on his daddy.
Division 1, sorry. Every week you have a game. Do you do part of any training session getting ready for the opposition?
No.
Why?
Depending on the opposition. Not generally.
Why?
I think it came a lot from arrogance from last year.
Even though
we came second, like we knew that we had the capability of beating anybody on our day. When it comes to...
You're honest anyway.
Yeah, I think there was... No, and I think that played into why we haven't been at the top of our game this year.
Right, okay, fair enough.
I think, I remember our first loss to Lions. Like, when we lost, I said, lads, we know why this happened. Because we came in and we were thinking, no one can beat us.
Yeah.
No one can beat us. And we came in like that. And then we proved very difficult to beat because we've had a lot of draws.
Yeah.
But, we had a certain type of arrogance and swagger at the start of the year that had stemmed over from the previous year.
Like, would you do, a lot of draws, would you do a scenario where, look, lads, we're drawing a lot of games. If we get a corner or a free kick in the last few minutes, this is what we're going to do.
Tried to implement stuff like that historically. What I found very difficult is, even if you're just missing one cog, the whole thing falls apart. So if you're doing a set piece routine, like I have throwing set pieces, I have corner set pieces.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing these things and you're missing your centre-back, you're snookered.
Tell me, how many players have you in your squad?
We started off, I'd say, with about 25.
Wow, okay.
I think we're down at about 15 now.
Injuries? Lads leaving?
One lad left, went to the Floodlight League. Some lads went down to the B team.
Okay.
So they didn't
leave the club, one.
One lad, and it was very fair, his reasoning to want to go to that. He wanted to play games.
Okay.
I think it's very... And this is why I'm no longer in the management side of things. I just help out. I found it very difficult to keep everybody happy.
Yeah, you don't keep everybody happy.
Yeah, and I that grates on me.
But
that
then
upsets me.
I think the new generation of people down tools and go somewhere else quickly. So if you kept them on the club, very good. I have a player, a friend of mine, came up from Division 1, won the Premier the following year, when amalgamation of A and B team, when players retired and all that. And we had one player, the first 9 games, did not get a minute. 9 games, did not get a minute. Mm. Not a minute.
Yeah.
And then there was an injury, he got in. And I'll give Sean his due. If you play well, you keep your... Pretty much keep your... And he played every game at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So it's a great thing to be said for resilience.
I always said, budgie points. Budgie points, I remember doing a training, I said it before, where I was just kicking the ball off the wall while the lads were doing drills because I was the odd number out.
Yeah.
And I wasn't great. And then I got a chance, and then Budgie kept me a centre back for 3 years before I ended up giving up football.
Brilliant.
For a while. And I have so much fondness for Budgie. I also remember when I came back from Australia, I was playing with the Evergreen team, and I started with Evergreen B, and then I started playing some C games. Obviously, I wasn't good enough. Like, I was playing left back. I was a right footer.
But now, can I ask you? You said you weren't good enough. If you had somebody like you back then going, right, Shane, these are your qualities, with a free kick or a corner near the end, this is what you're going to do, then you become more important to the team. Would that happen?
I think it would have been very hard to identify my qualities. But I remember in pre-season when there were
I could tell you all my qualities, but nobody agreed with me.
Where there were kind of, hey, I remember we were doing like a kick round where the whole teams were mixed, and I was just kind of like in a small group of lads, just been like, all right, you go over there and you kick a ball.
Yeah. That's hard take.
No, but like at the start, it was kind of like, all right, I'm going to give it a go. And I give it a go, and I started playing with the C team, and, you know, I was enjoying it. And then something was kind of.
Well, that's
said,
a big thing, enjoyment is.
Yeah, then something was kind of said that I took probably the wrong way, and I was like, right, I'm done with soccer. Mm. And then I was done with soccer for 3-4 years before I went out to Castlewarren. But like, obviously, I found my level.
Castlewarren's gain, baby.
Well, I found my level with Castlewarren as well.
Everybody does, though, you know.
Division 3.
But what I'm trying to say to you is, you're in Division 1 now.
Yeah.
Right? If you're going to win Division 1 in the next few years, get promoted to the Premier.
Oh, things have to change.
What do you have to change? Forget facilities and all that.
There has to be more consistency.
Right.
There has to be more consistency with lads being committed to coming up to training. There has to be some tactical work in some respects.
Yeah.
You know, we try and take lads aside and do stuff. There has to be more focus, I think, on that.
And would you have full complement of training every week?
No.
No.
No, but like in this year now and last year, like lads are trained. I know lads are trained. And like I include myself in this. Like there's weeks where I'm like, oh, sorry, I can't come. I have a comedy thing. But I'm not the most important part of the cog. You know, I'm there as just a club man.
But everybody's important.
Yeah, but I'll fill in like, much to the detriment probably of the training session, I'll fill in at centre back. I was there last night. Aaron Fogarty's our top goal scorer. He was starting up top. He had a bit of a groin injury, but he's back in form. And I was marking him, and I was like, "You're going up against the Castlewarren Benucci now, lad." But I kept
looking at you.
Yeah, I love kind of that kind of element.
So he enjoyed it though as well, though.
I don't know. He called me a narcissist. So
he definitely enjoyed it.
Yeah, but I was like, I'd be risen, lad. But then I'd be telling lads, there was another lad that was training with us, came up from the B team, he was training with us, and I went over to him and I go, right, you're like, think about the in-game, what's happening in-game here.
Mm.
Who's the weak link of this defence? And he didn't say anything. I said, it's me. I can't move. I can't turn. I can't do anything. All I can do is, if a ball comes to me, I can control it and maybe get a good pass off. Most likely, I'll pass it back to the keeper.
Aye.
Right? And then we'll set the whole play again. Because I pretty much slow everything down.
Aye.
And not necessarily...
No, you set the tempo.
Yeah. Pirlo then, right? Castlewarren Pirlo. But I was like, you need to identify that in the game. If you see someone that has a weakness on them, you need to identify that and be able to attack it and figure out how to attack it. You know, like he had pace to burn. I was like, and you're standing out on the wing.
Mm.
So that ball has to travel, say, from right back all the way out to the left. That gives me, the slowest guy you've ever seen,
3 days to get over.
To get over and comfortably be able to stand up. Now you might get past me, but my whole defence is reset as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if you come in on me,
you're coaching on the pitch.
And that, I love doing that. There's another lad that has Mikey Kennedy. And I can see it in the past few weeks.
Mikey Kennedy.
Yeah. I think he was with Booters.
Father is former Garda.
Oh, don't tell me that. Yeah. don't tell me that.
Mikey, nice young lad, yeah.
Yeah, he's a lovely young lad. Yeah. But I can see with the positive reinforcement in games, they are, like, he scored 2-1 goals against Evergreen. Yeah, you know, your head to be in the dumps. So in training, I'm going, right, Mikey, drop in here. Right, Mikey, do that. All right, go on, Mikey. And then he's getting a bit of a, you know, a chest on him.
He's getting a bit of confidence. But like, if we're down to town and somebody says, enjoying the podcast, good stuff.
Yeah.
Feels good. So going into next year.
Yeah. Hopefully Premier Division.
Yeah. Are you looking at, have you identified players that you want to bring in? Are you looking at the B team players that should be coming up? Are you looking at players in other clubs that said, look,
well,
maybe
like we blooded in it. We're trying to get the B and A's training
together.
Simultaneously, not necessarily together.
Right,
so
okay.
Sometimes, like, we called upon 2 B lads to come into the game there last night.
Right, okay.
See what they're.
What's your feeling? Are they happy to come up and do that?
Well, they seemed happy enough,
good,
anyway.
Because you can get that where they don't.
Man, I was training at the start of the year, and it was me and one of the B team lads, Flash or Steve-O, and there was about 40 lads of training. And then I started. So, like, and sometimes you don't know the numbers that are coming up. So kind of have, not circuits, but have a different stations for lads to train. And then and then mixing them up and then going, all right, these lads need to be with these lads. And then start mixing it up again.
Yeah.
And then playing, we had two side pitches. So then for the last 20 minutes, last 25 minutes even, you'd have two games going on. And then going, right, maybe I'll try and bring this lad over here.
And then see
how this lad
but
gets
But you're
on.
Doing things right then. You're trying your best to do things right.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got to say...
But there's also a thing of, lads, this is junior soccer. Mm. We just want to go out and play football on a Wednesday night and kick around and have a match and like have a good high intensity. Yeah. And that's a lot.
How many nights a week do you train?
Was two, now one.
But if you're going to try and get up, you're going to have to double that again.
Oh yeah, 100%, yeah.
Now, going back to the thing, the value to the County Council of sports clubs and all that, which I'm sure there is somebody.
Yeah, and this is going to circle into the last thing that I'm going
to bring. I met a friend of mine last night. We signed his young lad to a League of Ireland team a couple of years ago through a camp. He came through a camp. He wasn't at trials rent, just came through a camp, this kid. So I hadn't seen the father. We'd done one of our FAI badges together. So I happened to meet him last night. We're having a chat. And I says, how's the young lad going? And he got very sick before Christmas. Mm. And actually, we're very close to losing him. Now, this kid is only 15.
Jesus.
Very, very close to losing him through some infection. And he's back to the League of Ireland now. And the father says, give a shit where he goes, as long as he's out having fun. Because the thought were close. So I'm delighted for Miguel and the son. But the thing about it is, we're all here talking about winning trophies and all that. There is a massive element to it where you're out with your mates and having fun.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
It's a recreational thing.
Yeah,
like,
you know.
At the end of the day, there is so much bigger problems in the world than what's happening within the Kilkenny district.
And
you have to treat it seriously as well to get the maximum enjoyment out of it.
And I mean, look at the KDL is better every week because of me and you. Every week.
He says that with a sarcastic smile on his face. The last thing I wanted to bring up, and it kind of ties into this enjoyment thing and me being a bit of a softy when it comes to all these things. I got notified that clubs that might have a big complement of younger players can only pick certain amounts for match day squads.
Mm-hmm.
And that the parents are getting messages off the coaches to tell the young lad that he's not going to be in the squad. And that absolutely, when I heard that, I was like, are you serious? I was like, don't even let him, like, tog out and come to the game. Or, oh, he can come to the game, but he won't be, like...
Why have they signed him?
I don't know. Like, but the kid might want to play there as well, you
Doesn't
know? But,
matter.
Like, those things, like, I've rattled off a few instances. They stay in your mind.
Oh,
like.
They stay in your mind, yeah. If a young lad, a little kid, little boy is told you're too heavy, stays in his fucking mind. You're not thinking quick enough. You're not fast enough. You're not strong enough. Bullshit. If you're being told, and it's going back to a couple of weeks ago, and I got a bit of flack for this, and I don't care. If you're being told that you're not in squads regularly, go somewhere else. You're still your friends are your friends, and your kid don't want to leave. But if he really wants to play football, go somewhere else.
Mm.
Go to Castlemore. Go to Freshford. Go to Freebooters. Go to Evergreen. Go to East End. Go wherever you have to go. But your kid is the most important thing to you and his happiness. And do not tell me any kid is happy to be told he's not even coming to the game. Give me a break.
I told by the parents. Now,
yeah, like, and the coach isn't even telling him. The parents are telling him. Imagine getting up on a Saturday morning, hey, son, you're not going today. Why? They don't want you? Give me a break. And someone's come back. It's not we don't want them. We're giving these lads a run this week.
And they can also be like, look, we're trying to teach, because this is something that I think players need to own up. At a junior level, like going, right, if you are a sub, like there is room to constantly improve. So they, like coaches can argue going, right, they're not in the squad this week.
Yeah,
but now it's up to them to...
The difference between a sub and not being brought at all, though.
Yeah. I don't know, it's a hard one.
Not really.
No?
No. No.
Because...
Look after your own kid first. I don't care who you are. Listen.
At schoolboys level.
Yeah, at schoolboys level. Like you hit 16, 17, that's a whole different ballgame. But if you have kids 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and that's happening, go somewhere where they're happy.
Yeah.
And if football is not for you, go off and play gymnastics or do whatever you want to do. But at that age.
I would have been a great gymnast.
I'm sure you
would. I have no flexibility.
Well, I saw a couple of clips you doing the wrestling. You probably would have been. But no, seriously, I mean, that's tough. Are these people signing registration? Are they paying their training fees every week?
Yeah, but
are they buying the kit?
Does that make them obligated to play?
No, but it makes them obligated to be part of a team.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you're not part of a team and you're just there to give your €2 every week and run around to make up training, go somewhere else. Seriously, go somewhere else.
It's kind of run out of time, Davey.
Yeah. And none of it was us giving out at all this week.
Yeah, it wasn't us.
Fantastic.
It wasn't us. All so, the things that are said, you direct, give out to someone else's vote.
Yeah. So, anybody that wants to get in touch with Shane or me again for a couple of weeks' time, we'll do another one on this. Feel free, KDL, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, sport@kclr96fm.com. If you have anything to say, if we've got something wrong, let us know. We'll rectify it if we are wrong.
And to the ladies out there, Shane is doing a lot of running. He's got a new haircut. He's looking well this morning.
Oh, thanks for saying so about the haircut. my missus doesn't listen to the podcast, so that's a good thing. Okay. The fixtures.
She's a lot to deal with.
Yeah, the fixtures, we can go through them, but you can get them on the website.
Yeah.
You can go listen to...
Well, I suppose the big one this week is that Comer Evergreen Shield semi-final.
Yeah. Is it looking like an Evergreen and Booters final?
Yeah, it'd be nice if it wasn't, you know, but you would imagine. But if I was Comer this week, where they're probably not the favourites, I'd just go out and play.
Yeah.
Just go play.
In regards to the fixtures, I was listening to Jack and Burr on Tuesday night, Offside. They put up that podcast every day after it. I really like listening to Jack. And
I had to listen to him an awful lot in the dressing room.
He played with Castle Orr for a while as well. I love what he's doing with the Manchester United stuff.
Yeah, he's getting a good traction on that, man.
Lovely chap. You know, so if you have anything to say, or if you want to listen to the fixtures, go listen to the Offside Soccer podcast. Someone else doing work for the Kilkenny and District League. If you want to hear silly opinions, listen to me and Debbie as well on the Kilkenny Soccer podcast. Just the main thing is support Kilkenny Soccer, and that's what we're trying to
do. And the weather's getting better. Get out and support your clubs, Liz.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do. I'm trying to do it in my own way by doing the podcast as opposed to being at as many games as I can.
Yeah. I'm trying to get around to as many games as I can now.
Yeah, so. And go up and shout with Davey, you know, if you think he says something wrong.
Don't shout me when I have the German Shepherd with me. He's very protective.
But thanks very much for listening to the Kilkenny Soccer podcast. The avenues are always open for you to get your voice and join in on the conversation at sports@kclr96fm.com. Till next week. Thanks very much.
See you next week. Thank you.
The Kilkenny Soccer Podcast with Davey Doyle and Shane O'Keefe. Brought to you by KCLR and Scoreline.ie.